SeaWorld was the best part.
Because you hate animals.
Stop it.
Right. SeaWorld was the best?
It was, yeah. So they actually have the highest, fastest, and smoothest roller coasters in Orlando, which is a little known fact.
I think with, like, SeaWorld and the animals, look, all of us are like, hey, animal rights, we don't want to, all the animals should be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Until there's a situation where you get to touch an animal.
Yeah, and then you're like...
Or if I get to watch a dolphin do a trick.
And then forget yeah. everything. Yeah. If I get to swim with a dolphin and touch it, I don't care.
Right, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You get to touch him like a monkey climbs on you. All that thought goes out
I'm
the
in.
Window.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, is that monkey well taken care of? It's like, yeah, but I got to touch it.
All right,
well, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff with me as always. Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful.
Excellent.
Patrick's out of practice. He almost forgot our names. Do you notice that?
He called me MacArthur.
Well, there's that.
Before we got on here.
Right. In his defense, I've never known your last name. It's
my current last name or my maiden name?
Any of them. Okay. I don't pay attention to that.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't have time for last
all right,
names,
Towser.
All right? It's first name or nothing.
He barely recognizes you as a person. So.
Who are you again? Where are we?
I think she goes here.
Button? What red button? Where are my false teeth? Sorry, that's a Simpsons reference.
It plays. Just leave it.
Yeah, I'm not going to do anything with that. Welcome back from Thanksgiving proper. Because we
as opposed to our improper Thanksgiving.
Well, we had a podcast after Thanksgiving, but we recorded it before Thanksgiving. So.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah.
Behind the scenes, we did not record on the day of before Thanksgiving. Yeah. Sorry, listeners.
No.
Yeah, we usually record on Wednesdays. So.
We do.
Yeah. Yeah. How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. We were at a beach, and it was lovely. We had a good time.
Oh. Did you have a traditional meal?
A traditional-ish. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean. We had like the sides and stuff like that, but we didn't we got a turkey from a local caterer.
That counts.
Made the turkey
that's
for
a traditional meal.
Yeah.
That's
if you have a turkey and sides, that's a meal.
Yeah.
Turkey and sides.
Yeah. We went out to a Mexican restaurant.
Boom.
No.
Yes.
No regrets. Yeah.
Yeah. Our youth group Instagram, lol.youth, had a poll, a bracket on what is the best Thanksgiving side.
Yeah.
The winner was rolls. So,
it's hard to argue with.
Yeah.
Carbs are delicious.
Right.
I'm just saying, if the best part of your meal is rolls, not a great meal.
I don't know.
Hey,
you could get a really good roll.
A lot of restaurants just for the rolls.
Sure.
And I consider those to be great meals.
I'm just saying.
Is Patrick going to die on the podcast?
Maybe. I have a bit of a cold.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah. It'll be dramatic.
Best podcast yet.
Right. We'll have so many listeners.
We'll have a true crime podcast.
Can you just die into the microphone when it happens? So that so we can catch it.
All right. I've got some news for us.
All right.
Ooh, the news.
First.
See, Elise brought her game face today.
I did.
She said 2 weeks off. I'm ready to roll.
Right.
I have an update.
All right.
On a previous news story.
That's going to involve us remembering the news story. Yeah. If this is Pop-Tarts again, I'm going to be disappointed.
It's not Pop-Tarts.
Okay.
No. So the Cobb County judge in Georgia, state.
Is this the one who tried to arrest the judge?
Oh, he banned
Elf the Elf on
a
Shelf.
Oh, this is Elf on a Shelf guy. Okay.
Yes. He has since revoked the ban.
Oh, no.
What a quitter.
What?
We haven't even made it to...
Right.
It is December 1st today. Come on,
man. Something, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yes. Yeah. So Cobb County Superior Court Judge Robert Linner did ban all elves on the shelf in his county, but now he has rescinded it due to some surprise testimony from Santa Claus.
Oh, good Lord.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh, my God.
Frosty the Snowman.
All right.
And Jingles the Elf.
Jingles the Elf.
Jingles?
Who's Jingles?
I don't know. He's like the main elf on the shelf, I think.
All right. So I'm just going to back up for a second here because it varies from location to location. Is this judge someone that the people of Georgia have an opportunity to vote out of office? Or is this someone who has like a lifetime appointment where we should all be concerned about his
Is
capacity?
He Supreme Court bound?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm just saying, people of Georgia.
I know. I thought.
Think about who you're electing
to your
judicial offices.
I love beer was
offices.
Bad, but now we've got maybe banning and then letting back in
elves
the
on
elves
shelves.
On shelf.
Look,
oh goodness.
It's kind of like, the Innocence Project here for Elf on the Shelf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's overturn these unjust bans.
Right.
Yeah.
What I want to know is how many cases are sitting on this judge's desk, not happening or not getting heard because we're worried about Elf on a Shelf and listening to testimony from undeniably false characters such as Frosty the Snowman. I'm just saying. There are some legitimate opportunities here. Like Rudolph, I would take a testimony from Rudolph, but Frosty, come on. Everybody knows that Frosty's not real. It's all right.
He has a magic hat.
Yeah, but that doesn't work in Georgia. Magic doesn't work. Magic doesn't work in Georgia. We all know that.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
Pretty sure
okay.
that the South is like a magic hotspot. So we can fight about this later.
I thought that was the Pacific Northwest. I thought that's where.
No, it's the Southeast, that's especially the coastal Southeast.
Coastal, but that's not Georgia. That's just a little bit of Georgia. Very little.
Georgia has a
Cobb
coast.
County
very
could
tiny
be
Georgia.
Part of that coast. So
Cobb,
impossible
yeah,
to say.
Cobb County. Yeah.
I mean, we could look at a
We're
map.
Not looking it up.
We're not doing that.
Yeah. So there you go. That's my announcement, my update. That's all not right. my real news. That's my update. Do you like eggnog?
No.
I like my eggnog with as little actual nog as possible and mostly just bourbon.
More egg?
Yeah. You just want raw eggs in a cup?
Just want bourbon.
Yeah. I like my eggnog. No nog scrambled.
Eggnog over easy, please.
There you go. Mm. All
right. That would be...
Eggnog is disgusting. I'm putting it out there.
Yeah.
If you like eggnog, you need... Listen, to think about this.
Patrick just hates all the holiday things.
I love holiday things.
Turkey dinner, terrible. It's no gross. One ever wants to eat turkey dinner. Agreed. Eggnog, it's the worst. Agreed. You're a horrible human being if you like eggnog.
Yeah, fruitcake, awful.
Hey, fruitcake is awful.
You can make good fruitcake.
No.
Most fruitcake is terrible. Gross. You can make a good fruitcake.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
I dare
Who
you.
Who doesn't like cake
I challenge
with fruit
you
in it?
To make a good fruitcake.
We ate a fruitcake in this podcast, and it was horrible.
Yeah, because it was like a store-bought thing. Of course it was terrible.
It was so bad.
Yeah. It was bad.
All right. Yeah, I've never drinking anything and thought, wish this had an egg in it. Like, man, you know what would make this better? Eggs.
I don't think that's what you're supposed to think as you drink. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Patrick doesn't like eggnog. Right.
No, it's gross.
Big shocker.
You said eggnog. You don't like eggnog.
Yeah.
Whether or not you like it.
You said you like bourbon. That's what you said.
Am I wrong?
No, but you did not say that you like eggnog.
Also, I don't judge the people who do like eggnog and call them all horrible people.
I never said they were horrible people.
I don't think we did that.
We
but
did that.
But I said
there's
they're
an
wrong.
Opportunity to say that now if we would like to.
Okay, well,
the
anyway.
Floor is open.
Anyway.
Wow, that was a dramatic
Hidden fire. Valley.
Hidden Valley.
Has produced
ranch
eggnog.
Ranch
nog.
Ranch nog, yep.
No.
Oh, good Lord.
I'm so itchy all of a sudden. I don't like it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a ranch eggnog. It marries the creamy, slightly sweet taste of eggnog.
Mm-hmm.
False. With the savory, cool, and herby flavor of ranch dressing.
God.
I do know people who put ranch dressing on their scrambled eggs.
No.
I'm not saying I do it. I'm saying I know people who do that.
Oh, sweet children.
How well
out
do you
there.
Know them?
Yes.
I mean, I've seen it happen.
Okay.
We're not like besties.
Right.
I
Can
don't...
you cut them out of your life?
I think ketchup on eggs is already. Ugh.
Yeah.
No.
I don't like ketchup, so that's fine. Yeah.
You also don't like ranch.
That's true.
Yeah.
Ranch is not going to improve my eggnog experience.
No.
I'll tell you that right
no,
now.
No.
So, do you want a ranch nog?
No, I don't.
Elise?
I would drink an eggnog on a ranch. Like if I were just like on the farm
oh,
on a ranch.
Like a, yeah. Mm-hmm. Home on the range
yeah.
type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For
that's what you want when you're sitting around the fire.
It's an eggnog.
It's an eggnog.
Yeah. Sure. Just a nice
here's
cup.
Of bowl of chili,
official
some cornbread.
And of cowboys of everywhere. Yeah. Eggnog.
This is a missed marketing opportunity.
I know.
That's what this is, yeah.
Yeah, they have it in their little like a sheep's bladder thermos thing. They just squeeze it in
It's
their
just
mouth.
Like room temperature eggs.
Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, you can order this on the Hidden Valley official online store for a $50 kit.
Wow.
And that's
Seems
enough.
Excessive.
Yeah,
to make the ranch seasoning mix, the recipe, and like cups and things like that. So.
Is there a very expensive bottle of bourbon that is also included?
Right.
I don't believe so. You also
from the sound of this should include like a $40 to $45 bottle
right.
of bourbon.
Yeah, I need some Basil Hayden's in here. Yeah. Thank
you get a bumper sticker that says Ranchitarian. You know, slap that on your car.
That's Ranchitarian.
Can't wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
That really puts the ew in Yuletide.
Oh, boy.
That was a stretch.
Yeah.
He was sitting on that.
Yeah.
He was like, uh-huh. Not your best work. I'm not. Yeah, I got it.
See,
right.
You will.
Yeah, not your best work.
Okay. That sounds horrific.
Yeah. It does. It sounds terrible. You know what doesn't sound horrific? The Bible.
Oh, what a
what
transition.
A segue. Yeah.
Yes. Great job.
There it
that's
is.
Not, some parts of the Bible sound a little horrific,
they,
but that's
yeah.
not the part
that's
we're going to read today.
Not today.
Well, there's actually a part.
Actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
Not today.
Bible. We're talking. We're back in the Bible this week. First of the Monday of the month. We're in the Bible.
Yeah.
I don't know what day it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Today is actually the first of the month. This episode will come out on the first Monday of the month.
There you go. And we are transitioning away from the Old Testament.
Bye-bye, Hebrew Scriptures.
Into the new.
You're in the rearview mirror.
Right.
We don't need you anymore. No, that's not true. We still need you.
Yeah, that's never, certainly not true.
We'll never leave you.
That's
you'll always be
episode.
In our heart. That's right.
So we are going to take a look at the four Gospels. We're going to take these kind of as a team today.
All right,
but
team
only
effort.
The beginnings, their intros.
Okay.
So the intro to the four Gospels, we're going to take a look at those.
I like it.
So first question, why do we have four Gospels?
Ooh, Elise.
Oh, I think that there is a lot to be gained from separate perspectives. Is that like not the official? You're looking
watching.
At me real funny right now.
I felt like there was more coming. It felt like there was something.
I don't have the official answer. I will say that to me, I think that it's cool to have four separate perspectives on the same events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I think you can kind of triangulate maybe more what happens when you get four separate perspectives. And there's different things that are focused on in each one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the metaphor that I often use, especially when we're talking like confirmation, things like that, is, you know, put four people on a corner and have them watch a car accident. And they're going to have four very different perspectives of what happened in that car accident. They're all going to have seen the same events. You know, everybody's going to see, oh, this car hit that car, but somebody's going to see, oh, well, this car had its brake lights on, and somebody else isn't going to be able to see those brake lights, and somebody else is going to be able to see that this one had a turn signal, and they're not going to be able to, and so we're going to have those perspectives, and somewhere in the midst of all of those stories, we're going to find the fullness. In this particular case, right, we also have four Gospels that were written for four unique communities by four unique authors with unique purposes, as Elise brought up. So it's not even just that they saw the events from a different perspective, it's that they have a different purpose for telling the events, which is equally important for us to keep in mind, that they have a goal as they're writing these. These are not meant to be just a historical retelling of a secret or a series of events. This is meant to be a historical retelling to motivate you to a particular end, and each of them have a particular end that they're motivating you to.
Yeah. And so when the New Testament was compiled, these were not the only quote unquote gospels of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
There were other authors.
In fact, none of them are a gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well,
their gospels about their gospels
them.
About
yeah.
Jesus.
Ugh.
I'm just that's saying. Yeah. It's an important distinction.
We're above it.
Yes. So there were technically gospels written by Thomas.
Yeah.
Probably maybe attributed
Jefferson?
To the apostle. Yeah.
Gospel of Thomas. Infancy Gospel of Thomas is a fun one. There's a Gospel of Mary. There's a Gospel of Judas that we have fragments of. There's all sorts of them that are floating out there. Yeah.
They chose these four for a couple reasons. One.
Best promo.
These were the four that most of the churches were using already anyway.
Yep.
Mm. Like, these aren't like, hey, surprise, surprise, we got this new one, throwing it out there. These are basically the ones people were using.
Mm-hmm.
They're in circulation kind of separately.
Yes.
With.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And two, these, even in the ancient world, date-wise, are kind of earlier.
Yeah.
That the Gospel of Thomas, Gospel of Mary, Gospel of Judas, like their copies that they had were far removed from Jesus by...
Yep.
More than one or two generations.
Okay.
Yeah. So
interesting.
Yeah. Like, I mean, so Mark, we think, is the first gospel that was written.
Yes.
And we think that Mark was probably being written around the time of 70 CE, right? So the temple, we know the temple is destroyed by the Romans in 70. And the question is, well, is this happening just before that happens or just after that happens?
Okay.
And so that's when Mark is roughly being written. Some of those other gospels, you know, we're talking Gospel of Thomas and things like that, we're probably dating those as early as like 110 to 120 to 130. And so, you know, what we're adding 50, 60, 70 years onto that as far as removing it from the time when they were happening.
Okay.
And Mark is already 30 to 35 years removed from Jesus's actual life and death, which is important for us to keep in mind as well.
Yeah. And also, we also kind of have to think of, like, these are ancient texts.
Yeah.
Their writing is not the same as like our text.
Sure.
30 years removed from somebody's life and you have a biography of them.
Mm-hmm.
Is, for the ancient world, it's pretty quick.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, the Alexander the Great, the earliest biography we have of him is like 250 years post-death.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's a huge leap. So
right.
30 years, one generation removed is not that big in the ancient world.
Right.
Now, it's a lot for the modern world because we have news and then immediately coverage of it. And then immediately we're moving on to something else.
Right.
So we mentioned Gospel of Mark, and we're going to start here. That is the first one written that almost everybody agrees with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By and large, you have...
Who disagrees with it?
Well, so there's a lot of scholarly debate.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's
that's exciting.
It's like ultra Bible nerd, right?
They drink eggnog.
They probably do drink eggnog and have elbow patches on their jackets. But, you know,
I love an elbow patch.
I'm just saying. That's who's arguing about this.
Right.
Right. So the question is trying to get to the most authentic I even use authentic kind of in quotes there, right? But the most authentic understanding of how the Gospels were compiled. And so the most commonly held hypothesis, right? Because we cannot prove any of this. So kind of like gravity is still a theory, right? So the most commonly held theory or hypothesis about this is that Mark was probably written first. Matthew and Luke probably both used Mark as a source and may have had an additional source that's called Q that we're probably not going to talk about today. But Matthew and Luke may have had an additional source that they pulled from. And John was absolutely written last, probably as late as like 90 to 100, maybe a little after 100, but probably still in the first century before.
Okay.
But
I do want to talk about Q. Now that you brought that up.
Yeah.
That's a tidbit today.
It's a theoretical source because there's material.
We have no evidence that there is a Q, but the evidence is like they are using similar language. Right. Maybe they pulled it from the similar source.
They're telling similar stories in similar language. Maybe there was an additional source that would have been what they call a sayings gospel, where it's just like, it's more like a Proverbs, where it's just like, here's something Jesus said.
Right.
Here's something Jesus said.
It's like that's recorded.
Exactly.
You know, somebody wrote
so there, it might have, there might have been a document like that where Matthew and Luke both had that available to them and were pulling from it to use it in their document. But we have no evidence that it actually exists other than, well, maybe.
Right.
But Q is the first letter of the German word for source, which is like quell or something like that. And so they call it Q.
Interesting.
There you go. So as we look at the beginnings of all four Gospels, we're going to make all four authors.
Mm-hmm.
Are they who we think they are? Probably not. But all four authors have an assumption of the reader.
Mm-hmm.
And that assumption is, you know the Old Testament.
Yes.
Mm. All four of them are going to pull immediately from the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So that within the first couple of words, like, they're assuming you know everything that came before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say, if they're writing this to an American audience, pretty big assumption, maybe. Like,
we are missing a couple beats here, friends. Yeah.
And so that's why when we went through the Bible, we started in the Old Testament, even though as Lutherans, as Protestant Christians, we draw a lot from the New Testament for our theology.
Sure.
But there is a vast assumption that that matters. And when we read the scriptures of Jesus or the scriptures about Jesus, all that comes into context from the moment go.
Yeah.
Like if you were like reading these on like a website.
Yeah.
And, you know, are you familiar with a hyperlink?
Yes.
Well, I'm just, you know, for audience sake, a hyperlink.
The hyperlink's what you click on to go to something else.
Yeah,
it's the little underlined blue thing in the middle of your Wikipedia page.
Yes. Yeah.
And you'll click on that and it'll take you to something else.
Mm-hmm.
The Gospels are filled with hyperlinks to the Old Testament.
Yeah.
So as you're reading it, it'd be like...
But you can't click on it when it's in the book.
Right. You
tragically.
Cannot.
That's
yes.
the downside.
Right.
This is an ineffective hyperlink system.
That is true.
Stone Age technology.
So the Bible actually in front of
this operating system needs an upgrade.
Right.
I would say the Bible in front of me is not a great example of this, but if you really want to get into why and how the gospel writers are drawing from the Old Testament, you would want one with a strong footnote section that has a lot of stuff in there that you can kind of constantly go back to and reference, because the less familiar you are with the Old Testament, I think you're going to miss a lot from what the gospel writers are doing.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's jump into Mark.
Let's do it.
I decided on Mark because it's typically the earliest.
But not the first one in the
in
the New Testament.
Yeah, we start with Matthew. Why is that, do you know? I don't.
I think it's because originally they thought Matthew was earliest.
Okay.
Whoopsie.
But then, I think that's why it is. I don't know that for 100%, but I'm pretty sure that's where it came from. They thought Matthew was more, because they think that Matthew was the Matthew of the disciples.
He was
Levi, the tax collector who followed Jesus. And so they felt like that one actually came before Mark as far as being written down.
Yeah.
But we've since learned that that probably was not true.
Mm.
And that Matthew was probably not that person.
Yeah. The evidence we have on that is this book is called Matthew.
Yep.
There's a guy named Matthew in it.
Yeah.
That's Done. Basically That's the right. evidence. I mean,
Sounds
like,
about right.
Yeah.
Hey, it's as good as we've got for Solomon and all the stuff he did. So.
Yeah,
that at least attributes
credit.
It to, you know, but like...
that dude is all over the place.
I think John has a little
I'm pretty
more...
sure Solomon wrote the Gospel of Matthew.
John,
probably.
We're not going to get into this today, I don't think, but John has a little more evidence
that the
Apostle John wrote it.
Sure, yeah.
At least in its narrative style.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so according... Cool. Here we go, Mark. I also think Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just flows.
It is.
It does, yeah.
It's also because that's how we know it, right?
But it flows in English, so no guarantee that it would have flew in Latin or whatever it was that they were doing at the time. But,
well,
yeah,
I'm sure they...
It did work.
They knew when they were putting it English
Someday.
Right around the corner.
Right.
Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. It just doesn't flow as
that's
right.
right.
You know, it's... All right, so anyway, Mark. So...
I really like Mark's first line.
Okay, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
I like it. It's just like straight to the point. Like, here it is. Beginning of the good news. And that's actually, so the good news is actually gospel. And so it's the beginning of the gospel, or the euangelion, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Right off the front. This is who Jesus was.
Yeah.
And this is good news about it. And this is what you need to know.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah, right away, we're getting this theme presented to Mark. Mm-hmm. This is good news.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is not just what Jesus tells us. It is actually in Jesus himself.
Yep.
So all these things are good news. You know, Jesus being here, good. What he's asking to say, also good.
Also good.
And, you know, all these things are happening. All right. So right away, Mark is quoting the Old Testament.
Oof.
And he tells you he's going to quote the Old Testament.
Okay. So this one's easy. He warns you.
This one's easy.
Yeah,
this one's easy. He's like,
get your eggnog out. I'm going to quote the Old Testament.
As it is written in the prophet Isaiah. Mm-hmm. And this is where we have a little bit of an asterisk here, because he's not really just quoting Isaiah. He's quoting Isaiah some. And
some other stuff.
And,
right.
And Malachi some.
It's Isaiah the remix.
In a bit. Mark is like, combine parts of Isaiah and parts of other prophets, and I'm like, let's just throw them together.
Right.
Yeah.
And count it to Isaiah.
Yeah.
You know, let's just give it all to Isaiah. All right. So as written for the prophet Isaiah, see, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.
Yeah.
So this is, again, it's a little bit of Isaiah, a little bit of Malachi.
Fun fact, if you were in church yesterday, as of the day that this podcast comes out, we will have heard this reading from Malachi, not from Isaiah, about preparing the way of the Lord and making the path straight.
Yeah. Are we singing the song too?
I don't believe so.
Oh, that's a missed opportunity.
Sure.
Take it up with Dan.
Okay.
Yeah. And then he is going to go right into, here's who John the Baptist is.
Yeah.
And so John the Baptist is a key figure in the early part of Matthew and Mark.
Well, because when
gospel.
You're telling a story about Jesus, the important thing is to start with his cousin John. That's
that's what everybody wants to know about.
Makes perfect sense.
Right.
You know, look, Mark and Luke both start with the cousin John.
It's true.
So, yeah.
I should say loose extended cousin. Like, they weren't like first cousins like we might think of cousins.
Right.
But Mary and Elizabeth were related. And so John and Jesus were related.
Right.
And he is going to immediately kind of take this analogy.
That's how family trees work, Elise. Yeah. Don't look at me like I'm...
Look, I'm just trying to, in my head, sort this out. Like,
related?
Related.
Children, related.
In quotation marks or related, related?
In,
do we know?
In Luke, it says that Elizabeth was Mary's relative.
Yeah, so that's what we know.
Okay.
I mean, like...
It's not in quotes.
It's just relative. Okay.
So what does that mean? Again,
yeah.
I don't know. You know.
But they were related.
Yeah.
All right. So... he immediately, the gospel writer Mark, immediately says, this guy, John the Baptist, is the one preparing the way for the Lord.
He's the jam.
Like, he's, this is, there's a reason we quote Isaiah and then go right into John the Baptist to clearly say, that one preparing the Lord, that's John the Baptist.
Right. That's why he's got that big song in Godspell.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
That's why he's got it. He's the one.
And then Jesus enters the picture in Mark's gospel.
Boom.
And so we're clearly supposed to understand that's the Lord.
Yep.
Like, right.
Like, that is who this is. This is John the Baptist is preparing the way from Yahweh. Jesus comes into the picture.
Yep.
That's Yahweh.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who, like, it's supposed to be super clear in Mark's eyes. This is what it is.
Right.
But it may be easy to miss if we're not super familiar with the Old Testament or we're not reading it intently, like maybe Mark designed it to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So from the very beginning, you know, sometimes there's a question like, is Jesus actually called God in the Gospels? Like, yeah, right here, right away, the first account of Jesus calls him God literally immediately.
Yeah.
So
I think a better form of that question is, what does Jesus call himself within the Gospels? But yes, yeah, the Gospels absolutely make that claim.
Yeah. So, and again, it's not hidden. It's right there on the page. It may be hidden to Western eyes because we're not really used to reading this way, but like, boom, right there.
Yeah.
All right, any other thoughts about Mark, the meeting of Mark?
I think it's worth noting Mark starts when Jesus is already like in his 30s.
Yes.
Has no concern for Jesus as a kid or how Jesus was born or how any of that happened. And doesn't even mention Mary or Joseph in this beginning. I think Mary and Jesus' family does make an appearance in Jesus' ministry later on in Mark. I'd have to go back and check that. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure at one point Jesus' family is mentioned as being outside waiting for them. But That's not Mark's concern. Mark's like, look, this is what matters. Jesus came, and this his preaching, his teaching, his death on the cross, and his resurrection, that's the part that matters.
Yeah.
And that's where Mark is going to focus. And we'll dive into some other kind of specifics that I think are really important about Mark in a later episode. But for the beginning, I think that's really important for us to know.
That's interesting, too, because I think we feel, culturally, we put so much emphasis on Jesus's like birth, you know, for Advent and Christmas and all that, or the 12 days of Christmas or whatever it ends up being. But how relevant really is that, you know, in the
to Mark, not at all.
Right. In the grand scheme of things, it's real relevant when you have a holiday centered around it.
Sure. Or when you read Matthew and Luke.
Sure. Which Luke is my favorite.
When you read Luke.
Really? Luke's your favorite gospel?
It is, yeah.
Me too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, wow.
We'll get into that at the end, I think.
Yeah.
I like John.
Oh.
Well, he's probably my least favorite.
John is so intro. Great. Mm-hmm. John is so good.
All right.
Well, you want to like dive deep into some Old Testament stuff? Read John. It's just
That's why it's not our favorite.
Fabulous.
Nobody wants to dive
so
deep.
So incredible.
Well, let's move on. Let's
grab a glass of eggnog, sit around your fire with your elbow patches, and open up the Gospel of John.
All right, let's keep on. Now we're into Matthew.
Matthew.
Beginning of Matthew.
Matthias.
Okay, so Matthew, I'm going to be honest, starts a little shaky.
Yep.
So,
it's bumpy.
An account of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Boom. That's how Matthew begins. First verse of Matthew.
Does start with the claim of Jesus as Messiah, or Messiah would be the Hebrew version of Christos, which would be Christ, the anointed one.
Yep. Yeah.
So does start off with that claim. You know, Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the one we've been waiting for, the anointed one.
Yes.
So it does have that. But yeah, then it goes into listing a whole lot of people.
It's definitely a different target audience, I think.
It is
Mark
not
is.
A
yeah,
target Western 21st century audience.
These are the crusty old dudes that really cared about their family trees.
Absolutely.
Which does matter. Like, it's important stuff, but it is not... It does not translate to our modern culture.
Right.
Because, you know, how many of us can name 5 generations back in our family?
Oh, no. I can.
Really?
I'm descended from a grave robber, and it's my favorite thing.
Oh, okay. That's impressive.
Yeah.
More
that's
on that later.
That's my genealogy that I'm super proud of.
Spinoff podcast. Right. We'll get to that. But so I'm thinking, like, I can go back... So my parents would be one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents... And then I'm out. Like, I can get 3 generations back.
I can't even do that far.
I could get my great-grandparents. But beyond that, like, I probably couldn't get all my great-grandparents. Now that I'm saying that aloud, I would probably screw somebody up. But
for sure. Like, do we have to know their full names, or is it just, like, know who they were and something about them?
If you even knew their full names, I'd be impressed.
Okay.
Like, But so it's a very different cultural time, right? As opposed to this time and place when they're like, this is who you are. This is where you came from. Like, everybody needed to know who are you and where are you coming from. And this is still very prevalent in a lot of parts of the world. In fact, I was just listening to a podcast yesterday about a person who was coming out of the civil war in Sudan. And as they were being sent out of the refugee camp, they were finally having a chance to come to America. And their family gathered around them and recorded these messages on a cassette tape for them. And one of the messages that they recorded was their genealogy, saying, you are the son of so-and-so, the son of so-and-so, who was the son of this person who was the father of us all many generations ago, and like traced that all the way. And so like that's a piece of their culture that they hold really closely to their hearts.
Yeah.
We just don't do that in the same way here.
Which is really cool, but reading about it for somebody else for 20 minutes is maybe not...
When you're not part of that culture,
right.
You'd be like, well, I don't get it. Why does this matter? Why do I care who begat who?
Yeah. I don't know that I've ever actually read that. I think I've skimmed that every single time.
And you get fun names like Jehoshaphat and Joram and Uzziah. Uzziah is a fun name. Hezekiah.
Yeah.
Hezekiah was a king we talked about. We remember him.
Mm-hmm.
So in this genealogy... We've got a couple key points. I want to get into this.
Yeah, okay.
All right. One, we got to talk about Abraham.
Yep.
Two, we're going to talk about David.
Good.
Three, we're going to talk about exile. Those are kind of the
triple threat.
Right.
The three things. And in the Old Testament, these are big moments.
This does not pass the Bechdel test. I'm just going to throw that out
It does, though. Well, not.
No.
No.
No. But there are 4 women.
There are
crucial. Whoa, we got 4.
There are crucial and important women, but it does not pass the Bechdel test.
For an ancient document about genealogy, 4 is pre-revolutionary.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the genealogy, we have an era of Abraham, of the early followers of Yahweh, of God. We have an era of David, the kings, and then an era of exile. And then Jesus is supposed to, again, the audience should be, according to Matthew, should be figuring out Jesus marks the new era.
Yeah.
Like that. This is the response to the exile, even though technically the Israelites have not yet been have been back in Israel for 400 or so years. Jesus is the next chapter. And according to Matthew, there are 14 generations between Abraham and David.
Yeah.
14 generations between David and Exile, and 14 generations between Exile and Jesus.
Wow. It's pretty consistent.
May or may not be historically precise.
Yeah.
And I don't
but
think,
is
yes.
symbolically
yes.
beautiful.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Because when we say someone is the son of blank, that could be shorthand of descendant.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That could be their grandfather, their great grandfather. You know, it's a little nebulous.
Yeah. No, a lot of these we can trace. I mean, like, you sure. can follow the story, especially through the first bit from Abraham to David. You can follow that pretty well. There's some questionable ones in the middle, but they're, you know, the beginning and the end, you get that. And we get the story of Obed by Ruth. We get the specific mention of Ruth there, as we talked about previously. So we can follow some of that through the Old Testament litany, but yeah, it's sketchy to say that it was exactly 14 every time. Like, you shouldn't hang your faith on it was 14 generations from one to the next. Like, that should not be...
That's not the linchpin.
The core. Yeah, the core. If that's what you're hanging on to, let's have a conversation.
but
some eggnog.
It is supposed to show these parallels that whatever... Jesus is the new thing.
Yep.
Those are all big things. Jesus is the new thing. And then also in there, we do get the four mentions of women. We get Rahab, Tamar, Ruth, and Uriah's wife. We don't even want to name her.
Wow.
And that is Bathsheba. So it's a little,
yikes.
A little bit of a, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a little bad.
Which we've talked about that. And it is particularly weird that Uriah gets the shout out here and not Bathsheba.
Right.
But yeah.
He had literally nothing to do with that.
Yeah. But Ruth and Tamar, they're in there.
And Rahab.
And Rahab, yep.
Yeah. And what's interesting, all four of those women, well, Bathsheba's a little questiony, not Israelites.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, because Bathsheba might not be an Israelite.
Because Uriah was a Hittite.
Uriah was a Hittite, and Bathsheba, descendant of Sheba. I mean, like, it's kind of it's nebulous.
Yeah.
I can't prove it. But at least three of the four, not Israelites.
Sure.
So they're not only women.
Maybe
they're
four
also,
to four.
They're also outsiders.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's an interesting little tidbit.
Double outsiders.
Yeah. Women and...
They probably had tattoos, too.
Wow.
Sorry, that was a shout-out to an old episode. Yeah. My bad.
Sure.
I have no problems with tattoos.
I'm going to leave.
And then after the genealogy, we go right into birth of Jesus.
Woo!
So,
baby Jesus' birthday.
Little baby Jesus.
Yes.
Little 8 pounds, 6 ounces baby Jesus.
So,
ooh,
Luke,
that's a big baby.
When you think
six
of...
6 pounds, 8 ounces, is that
better?
That's better.
Okay. Yeah.
I think when you think of, like, the Christmas story, you're probably drawing most of it from Luke.
Unless you're thinking about the wise men.
And then the wise men from Matthew.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Matthew gives us the wise men.
And weirdly, Matthew is very Joseph-centric, and Luke is very Mary-centric.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing it out there.
Yep. I mean, it's my favorite. So. Yeah.
Luke, not Matthew.
The
right.
closest to passing the Bechdel test.
Yeah, in Matthew, the angel does come to speak to Joseph and not to Mary.
Yep.
Yikes.
Well, it's not like Mary definitely did not hear from any angels. Right. Like, it's just like
she was totally blindsided.
That part of the story is not in Matthew.
That's not Matthew's telling. Yeah.
Matthew is telling the angel speaking to Joseph. And then after that, the wise men came. Are there three of them?
No.
Probably not.
Not according. I mean, it says they brought three gifts. It doesn't say how many people there were.
There might have been. They might have been a group gift.
Could
have gone in on it.
Yeah, could have been five that went on in on three.
Sure, they could have showed up.
Could have been two with three.
And
maybe it was a group and they skimped.
Like, oh, we were supposed to bring gifts.
What?
You guys didn't tell me.
Come on, Gerald.
And that guy got Jesus a Starbucks gift card.
Let me swing by this real quick on my way into Bethlehem.
Yeah, and then Matthew will also in the. Parts of Jesus as infant will go in, our child will also go into the escape to Egypt and the massacre of the infants.
That's a not fun.
That's a not fun story.
Yeah.
But it's not like a God commanded this story. It's more of like a, ooh, this person was real bad and was real determined
to for sure. Herod
kill
is,
Jesus.
Yeah.
This person did not want Jesus to become the savior of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or more accurately, this person did not want Jesus to take over his throne.
Right, yeah.
He probably didn't have savior of the world in his mind.
This is my chair. You can't have it.
You can't have my chair.
Yeah. Any other highlights here from Matthew you want to go over?
No, I like it. That's good. I like to remind people that the wise men probably did not come until like 3 years later. Right. Like, Jesus would probably have a toddler by the time the wise men arrived. And so, sure. I mean, we condense it because we have to condense the whole thing, right? So every year, Jesus grows up from birth to death within a couple of months.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just how the liturgical calendar happens. But the wise men probably were several years that Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus were living in Bethlehem and were, you know, there and dwelling there for a period of time until the wise men came.
For sure. Shepherds, night of. Yeah. Wise men.
Yeah.
Probably a long
at least week of for shepherds, yeah.
Well, according to the gospel, right? Like,
does it say night? I know it happens at night. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're there the night of.
Yeah.
It happens quickly.
Oh,
for
silent
the
night.
That's not in the Bible. Oh Lord.
I think I saw that. I do like to remember every Christmas is like, you know, one shepherd boy approaches Mary, this new mother, with her with her silent sleeping infant in her arms, and thinks, "I know what this girl needs. A drum solo."
Yeah.
Like, little drummer boy.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
I got you, Mary. I got you.
Yeah, like, no point in the birth of my child that I think, could you some drums up in here? Like,
yeah. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum, Patrick. Right.
And also gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm just going to say.
Impractical gifts.
Not great gifts. Yeah. Gold, probably good. You know,
yeah, that's... you can do some things with gold. Frankincense and myrrh were both very valuable.
Yeah. Probably could have used some burp cloths or some onesies. You know?
Some diapers.
Yeah.
So much judgment of the ancient gifting
I'm just
culture.
Saying, as parents, I think we can look in this and say, oh, you could have done better.
Yeah. All right.
That's why it's probably dudes.
Like, right.
Yeah. That's true. They did not know what to give this new mom.
Right. Right. This is like the equivalent of bringing a bottle of wine to a baby shower.
Yeah, you bring that to the first birthday, not to
right.
The yeah. You survived for a year.
Right, here you go.
Okay, so now let's get into Luke.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, so hold on. Your favorite, both of you, mm-hmm. is your favorite gospel.
Yeah.
What about Luke makes it your favorite gospel?
I think it's the most human out of all of them.
Hmm. Interesting.
Luke has the parable of the prodigal son.
That alone makes it your favorite gospel?
Yeah,
I can
that
get
that. That tips the scales. You know.
It's that heavy.
Okay. Luke 15 is for me the most important chapter of the Bible.
Ooh. Mm. Ooh.
So.
I'm
acting like I know what Luke 15 contains.
That would be
the prodigal son,
okay.
The story that he was just talking about 30 seconds
sure
earlier.
Different, okay.
So
that'd be weird. Prodigal son, but also Luke 15.
Right.
Yeah, I like Luke a lot. I like how he has, again, we're going to get to right away in his gospel, this is how I've approached this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really appreciate that. He spends a lot of time with Mary at the beginning, and I do really appreciate that. And then again, Luke 15, it's the only one that has the parable of the prodigal son. And for me, that's the key teaching of Jesus that we have the clearest image of, like, who God is, mm-hmm. who man is, and God's relationship between the two.
Okay.
Like that for me, you know. You
yeah,
mean,
I hear you.
Yeah, so.
I was, yeah.
All right.
I'm not here to argue that.
Right. It can be our favorite.
Right, it can be your favorite. I was just curious. You were you're both very.
Mark is my second favorite.
Defensive. Really?
Yeah. So. Because he's just like.
Mark, no, I haven't established a second favorite.
Let's make it happen right now.
Mark is like greatest hits. Boom, boom, boom,
that's
boom,
right.
boom.
Yeah.
Done.
Yep. None of that fluff.
Yeah. All right. So, Gospel according to Luke. So, Luke has a very interesting difference here in that he has a dedication at the start of his gospel to Theophilus.
I like Theophilus.
Yeah. So, Luke has like a guy who's been like hired him.
A patron. Yep.
To write this account. He's like, hey, I've heard a lot about this Jesus. Luke, you seem like a smart dude.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, Luke is probably traveling with Paul or has stopped traveling with Paul because Paul is dead.
Could be.
And then, like,
tough to say.
Right.
And then, because Luke is a character in the in the Acts and in Paul's letters.
Luke and Mark are both characters in the Acts. And
not big characters, but they're there.
They're named.
Right. And he's a doctor, right?
Maybe
like sort of maybe physician. We
tradition would say that he was a physician of some sort.
Okay,
I wouldn't
like a chiropractor.
Luke is knowledgeable, so he has.
I don't want to dismiss the entire profession of chiropractic.
That was rude of me.
I'm just saying, like, yeah, probably.
Okay, so Luke has knowledge of like doctory stuff,
right?
So like they're like, oh, that's probably a doctor.
He gets on WebMD.
But he also has knowledge of like lawyery stuff. So Luke is just a smart guy.
Yeah.
You know, so
he's done his homework.
He's like, hey,
he's a Renaissance man before the Renaissance.
Right. I think I like it too because it's academic, but it also feels sort of like a passion project. You know?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just into it. I'm going to tell you the story. I don't care if you care about this
story.
Right,
but
I care
so much that it like spills over and then right. you care about it. You know?
I'm going to tell it in a way that's going to make you care about it.
Yeah. I feel like Luke does his homework and he loves his homework.
Also think he's the best author out of the four of them.
Wow.
I'm in agreement. I think he's the best writer. Okay. All right, so he's saying like, hey, here's me writing this. I want you to know other people have tried to write about Jesus.
I'm going
to
do it better.
But I've gone to the sources. That's right. I'm checking it out, and I'm doing this on behalf of Theophilus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's his intro. And then he goes right into...
Real quick.
Yeah.
Theophilus. Do you guys know what it means?
No.
No.
God lover.
Oh.
And so there's a question of, is Theophilus a real person, or are you the reader, the God lover, that this is dedicated to?
Oh.
That's
maybe.
Sweet. It's like an XOXO.
Yeah. It's the question of, am I writing this to a literal person who has paid me to do this? Or am I writing this to the community of believers who will be reading this saying, this is why I did this for you. I did this thing for you who love God, who fear God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going
to... Side note.
Luke is jumping right into the birth of John the Baptist.
Nice.
So
again, start with that cousin.
Start with the cousin. And Luke is really... And Luke is not even starting with the cousin. Let's start with cousin's dad.
Yeah, there it is.
I guess when I introduce myself, am I supposed to be saying, so my uncle is...
That's right.
Pretty much. Right. Yeah. So, and he, again, in Matthew we have a genealogy. In Mark we have a quote from the Old Testament. Luke is going to give us some allusions to the Old Testament that are not spelled out directly, but if you're familiar with the Old Testament, they should be pretty obvious.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that is, there's this guy named Zechariah who's super old, who's married to this woman, Elizabeth.
Uh-huh.
They don't have any babies.
Uh-oh.
And the angel shows up to say, you're going to have a baby.
What?
And so, again, if you're a reader of the Old Testament, this should really harken back to Abraham and Sarah.
Sure.
Old, no babies. God shows up and says, you're going to have a baby. Go from there. So like we're really drawing from like this Old Testament story right away.
We're making some connections.
And Zechariah is a priest. He is not just a guy. He is a high priest in the temple. So he's a good, you know, a God-fearing guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like this in exchange with the angel that I think is really kind of funny, where the angel's like, hey, you're going to have a baby. And Zechariah is like, I'm an old man. And the angel says,
what are you talking about?
Well, the angel says, I am Gabriel. I guess we're just saying things about ourselves.
Right. Stating the obvious.
Yeah. he doesn't even address it. Like, yeah, okay, I'm Gabriel. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then he
goes on to say, I'm Gabriel and I stand in the presence of God.
Sure.
I just
like that little boom. Yeah. Like, I'm an old man. And like, I'm Gabriel. So we get it. And so Zechariah
is not allowed to talk.
Fails the test.
Yeah.
His faith in God is like, I'm not buying this. And he's like, whatever.
Fine. You're not allowed to talk for 9 months. Take that, dude. Which, frankly,
and Sarah
I'm
was
guessing
like,
that, I'm guessing there are a lot of moms out there who are like, can this happen to my
right.
Like, sure. That'd be really handy if we could mute him for nine months. I know that
he's
there are plenty of times.
Real nervy.
Plenty of times when Amanda wanted me to shut up for 9 months. So.
And then we go into this same Angel Gabriel, meeting with Mary. Kind of giving a very similar spiel.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to become pregnant. You're going to give birth to the son who's super important. A little bit more why your son's important, because he's going to be Jesus, savior of mankind, basically. Mm-hmm. And Mary is like, okay.
Let's do it.
Yep.
I feel like
I would have some more questions, but I respect her.
That's because you're not as faithful as Mary
right.
was.
Also, she was like 13, right? So
she was young. Yeah, for sure.
Hard to say.
The maturity level wasn't there. I would have way too many questions
just
to go
ignorant.
Through with this.
I don't know.
That's why.
Yeah. I mean, she does ask the question, how can this be since I'm a virgin? And he was like,
don't worry about it.
I don't know.
There's,
look.
And we don't
ask,
need
ask your dad.
But I think we have this parallel here to really highlight the high priest's faith is not strong enough.
Mm-hmm.
The young, uneducated girl's is.
Mm-hmm.
And to have this like really strong parallel right at the beginning, I think it's really powerful. This idea of like his faith he could not see how God was at work. She could.
Yeah.
And that's really like a monumental thing, especially in the ancient world, how they felt about like if you're a young and unmarried woman, you basically are
nothing.
Property.
Yeah.
You know? And so like, but that she, her faith is what stands out in this beginning of Luke.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other thoughts on Luke?
Are we just going to skip over shepherds entirely? We're not going to get into
it? Let's get into it. I mean,
I like the shepherds.
Yeah. I mean, this is the Christmas story, is Luke 2. That's where we get, you know, every year, Christmas Eve, this is what we read.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just pointing out that it only happens in Luke. So to anybody who's out there going like, oh, this is the most important thing, like, really only important to Luke. Like,
right.
Matthew kind of talks about it,
yeah.
but really focuses on the Magi and on Joseph. Luke is the one who says, like, oh, here's angels, here's shepherds,
yeah.
here's somebody singing O Holy Night, here's a little drummer boy, here's...
yeah. Wait, hold on.
Up until that ending part. Right. Yeah. And so I just think that's worth us keeping up. They also have Mary's Magnificat, which, not weirdly, inappropriately, I think, Mary is not listed as giving this as a prophecy, right? This actually happens to Moses' sister Miriam as well, right after the Red Sea falls in and destroys the Egyptian army. She sings a song. And lots of other places where men sing songs throughout the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, they are listed as, you know, they spoke these words of prophecy, but these are just listed as, and then they sang a song.
Isaiah's mother do this as well? Whose mother?
Samuel's
mother. Yeah, when she drops him off, she had like a poem.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Christmas story really comes from Luke with a little bit of Matthew thrown in for seasoning.
The Epiphany story is Matthew. Epiphany is when the wise men come, so 12 days after. The 12 days of Christmas.
Oh, boy.
Just saying. That's when Matthew happens.
Sure.
So any of you who have wise men showing up in your Christmas pageant, you're doing it wrong. It's fake news.
We have them in ours.
What's that?
We have them in ours, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because everybody expects to see
them. That's now your Christmas pageant, so.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take that up with my director of children's faith.
Sure.
All right, and let's get into John here as we're
Juan. I love John. I will go on record.
Great.
I think John is great.
You can love John.
Yeah.
Nobody's against you loving John.
Good, because it's awesome.
All right.
It's
so.
The best gospel.
Great.
Right.
I disagree.
But I don't care.
You.
Yeah.
All right. So John, again, starts off really clear understanding.
Yeah.
You should be familiar with the Old Testament.
Right.
Because he's going to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And so when you hear that phrase,
in the beginning,
you got to be thinking all the way back.
In the beginning of what?
To Genesis 1. Yes.
Yeah.
That there it is. Like, he's clearly drawing from the Genesis creation story, and we're reframing it and repurposing it for the gospel of Jesus here. So right away, we're making that strong connection between those two things. And then he's going to get into some kind of really cosmic... interesting language and description that Jesus is becoming the Word, or Logos in the Greek. And through that Logos, all of creation is stemming from Jesus. It's interesting.
Yeah. A lot of our understanding of Trinitarian theology kind of comes from this section.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're trying to understand how Jesus and God are both God, but different.
And I think, too.
Also the Spirit.
Well, I think, too, you could draw in the Proverbs.
Oh, yeah.
We also have a bit of a creation retelling.
With the wisdom.
With Lady Wisdom is part of the creation section, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you're combining those three things, you have a God, you have a son, and you also have a ethereal wisdom kind of all involved in the creation process.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you by stringing those three things together, you can clearly in quotes.
Maybe.
I think you can
if you're looking for it.
Right? I think you can see the Trinity at work by seeing these kind of re-edits of kind of the original creation.
I mean, there are lots of steps that you have to take, but that's what we call faith, right? Nobody's expecting us to have this perfectly spelled out with, oh, well, this is how it worked. Like, that's not faith anymore. That's something different.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So John immediately jumps into an analogy. Jesus is the Word. And we're going to talk about that for a little bit here. The Word became flesh. The Word lived amongst us. We have seen his glory and the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have right away. This kind of really cosmic analogy that the voice of God is actually Jesus, or the Word of God is Jesus. And then that Word became flesh into the man, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's the opening of John. What do you got to say for us?
I love it. I think the poetry is beautiful. I think the symbolism connecting us back to the original creation and Jesus's presence in the midst of that creation is really important and powerful for our understanding of how Jesus is at work in the world. This is not the only reason that I love John, but I really do love I think it's the most poetic and most beautifully written introduction of the four gospels.
Yeah, I was saying to Patrick before we started recording that I think that this is the only intro that I ever hear quoted.
Mm.
You know, to the four gospels. This is the only like one that stands by itself and people will.
Yeah. Because I mean Luke is like, hey, Theophilus, just so you know, I wrote this thing and other people, and that's not, I mean, but Mark has a good one. Like I like Mark's, but it's so short, right? It's just in the beginning of the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And it's great, but it's you know, just to the point. And this one kind of expands that and it's poetic and beautiful, and I just love this intro a whole lot, this prologue. Also, from here, John will jump right into John the Baptist. And so interestingly, like, you know, we've got four different people looking at this. I should stop using Carver as a metaphor at this point. We've got four different people looking at this story of Jesus' life, and all four have said John the Baptist is important enough. Like, this person coming to prepare the way is crucial for us to understand, hey, we need to have that person in our story. We need to make sure that we're telling that part of the story.
Yeah.
Which leads into Jesus' baptism, which is also in all four Gospels.
Okay, so let's put a pin in this. Of the four, which is your favorite?
I just told you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Yours is John.
Right, and yours is Luke.
Mine's still Luke. Of the four intros, not just the Gospels. Four intros.
Still John.
I'm still Luke.
Yeah, I'm still Luke.
Okay.
Yeah, I like the...
How far are we going in the intro?
Well, I'm
because,
doing...
like, to get to the good part of Luke, chapters. You got to go into, like, chapters 2 and 3.
No, I think even getting into the birth of Jesus foretold, going through the birth of John the Baptist foretold and the birth of Jesus foretold... Mm. I think even then, I'm like, this is good. This is really good.
Like, I can read this in this.
Yeah. Sure. It is well written.
And I love, like, the juxtaposition between Mary and Zachariah right away, I think is really powerful.
I think that is beautiful. I think from my perspective, the centrality of my faith is more located around the introduction that John gives as far as Jesus being God and Son of God and present in the beginning than it is around how Jesus was born through Mary. And so for me, there's more power and meaning in that first introduction to John than it is in Luke, in my own experience.
That's totally fine. John would be my second favorite of the four introductions.
Yeah.
Matthew was clearly a four. Right. Like, started with the genealogy.
Here's some people that are dead.
You're starting in a rough place, Matthew.
It's like reading a math textbook. Yeah. Awful.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't mean it's awful.
How often do you read math textbooks?
I don't.
No, okay.
For a reason, yeah.
Ask me how often I read Matthew's introduction.
Or just genealogies.
You're right.
Yeah.
That one, I think, is a little rough. And so to lead off with that one in the New Testament, you know, that's a little rough. There.
You really got to know your audience, and we were not Matthew's audience. Right.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one we'll get into in the future is, like, when these four gentlemen are writing, they have an audience in mind. Mm-hmm. Like, they are thinking about who this is going to. This is not just for necessarily everyone.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, this is for a specific group of people. And I think that kind of matters too as they're writing.
Yep.
Okay. Any other thoughts on the intros?
No, this is great.
Yeah.
I love the Gospels.
Yeah,
they're all good.
We give thumbs up, thumbs down, or, you know, how many thumbs?
Seems inappropriate.
All four are going to get 2 thumbs up from me. I think they're all great.
Yeah.
Luke is...
If we're doing just introductions, Matthew's does not get 2 thumbs.
No.
If we're doing just introductions.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I would give Luke 2, John 2 as well.
I'd probably give Mark 1.5.
Mark 1 to 1.5. Half for Matthew.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Oh. Elise already feels guilty about that.
You're right.
Like, yeah.
I mean, it's got Jesus in it, so you feel
kind of
like...
Can I give half a thumb to Jesus?
I give a half thumb to the shout out to the women, because it is distinct. It is distinctly...
One for the ladies.
Distinctly different.
Half a thumb, really.
Right? Yeah.
I think it just is distinctly different. It's just like... And I also like that, like, hey, 14 generations. Here you go.
Right.
Like that symmetry that Matthew presents. I do give a half thumb to that.
Yeah.
The list of names... Ugh.
Yeah. Luke's got a whole big thing. Mary sings, Elizabeth sings, lots of women.
And Luke will give us a genealogy too.
Yep. Just later.
Right.
Yeah,
he's not right up front.
He just wants
to
capture
hold off for a minute.
A little bit before.
We call that info dumping in writing. Yeah. So you don't want to do that right up front. That's a really good way to not sell any books.
Is to info dump?
To info dump right up front.
All right.
That's where you do, like, this is the world. And here's everything you need to know about it.
Sure.
Once upon a time.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, in Lord of the Rings, we have a pretty big info dump.
So much info dumping.
Right away with what the ring is and the battle. It's pretty, but it's also really good.
Unpopular opinion. I don't like Tolkien's writing.
Okay.
That's fair. Yeah. I think the movie is really good.
Yeah, the movie. Peter Jackson killed it.
And how it presented it.
Sure.
Yeah. Do we need to cast anybody? We've done that.
Dreamcast.
I guess we could Dreamcast Mary.
Mary and Gabriel, I think, are the two that probably will not come up again in our
one. Sure, sure.
So,
Mary, anybody?
Zendaya.
Who?
Zendaya. That's a good one.
Yeah. I don't even know who this is.
She's in the Spider-Man movies.
Great. Sounds good.
She's also in Dune, right?
Barely.
For like 2 minutes, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, she's cool.
All right, Zendaya. Yeah, Mary. Zendaya. Congratulations, Mother of God.
Yeah.
All right, Gabriel. Who's got wings? Who do we know that's got wings? And preferably fire for eyes. Do they have that? Do anybody know fire for eyes?
Yeah, what do you got?
In my head, you're thinking
Woody Harrelson.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah, that's who I cast for everybody. No, in my head, I hear Gabriel and I think Brad Pitt, but that's like my modern like understanding of hot angels, not like what they probably actually were.
Right. Okay. Cool. So, I think we could just get away with a CGI angel.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a like hologram. Avatar.
Brad Pitt's voice.
Yeah, Brad Pitt's voice in an Avatar body.
I just love that. Like, I'm an old man.
I'm Gabriel.
What's that have to do with anything?
Right. Like,
well, if you liked this episode or any of our previous episodes, be sure to find us at BeyondSundayPodcast.com. You can go back and look up like 4 years worth of Christmas stuff. You can do like something, could be an like Advent that. Celebration for you of just listening to the Beyond Sunday podcast.
Celebration? What's for sale?
For some reason, this has become like a habit to say celebration instead of celebration. I probably need to break myself with that. Anyway, be sure to rate and review. Share this out with your friends and neighbors. Maybe you've got an interesting story about your experience of the Gospels. We'd love to hear that, too. So you can email us at beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
My family does not celebrate celebrations. We're a Toyota mod family.
Get out of here.
All right, thanks for listening, buddy.
End of the episode.
We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.